Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the National Hockey League. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get podcasts. So in today's episode, we're going to look back at Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, the Montreal Canadiens, making sure that that's not the last game of the Stanley Cup Final. And then we'll go through expansion plans for East Division teams, looking at their protected lists and who they might lose to Seattle. So let's start with Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. And Montreal takes a 3-2 decision in overtime over Tampa Bay. Josh Anderson scores a pair of goals for Montreal, including the overtime winner. And somewhere along the way, someone will tell you that, good thing the Montreal Canadiens have Josh Anderson. And it's in these rare moments where Anderson, comes up big at the right time that you can sort of miss out on the fact that he has produced very little down the stretch and in the playoffs this year. This has not been, for a guy who scored 17 goals during the regular season, Anderson has gone through some pretty lean patches. If you go back into the regular season, his last 15 games, he scored 2 goals and had no assists. And then come into the playoffs, and you're looking at 21 games with 5 goals and an assist. And so, that's a 36-game span in which he has 7 goals and 1 assist. I'm sure there are players in the league who survive on that kind of production, but they're usually not making $5.5 million a year on a long-term deal. Nevertheless, Anderson on the winning goal made a heck of a play to carry the puck deep into Tampa Bay zone to fight off Jan Ruda off the hit towards the end boards to get out and knock in a rebound at the side of the net. Full credit to him for doing that. I think basically the point I'm trying to make is you would like to see it a little bit more often if you're the Montreal Canadiens. Also for Montreal, Cole Caulfield had a couple of assists in Game 4. And the real story, I suppose, is that Carey Price stopped 32 of 34 shots. Price, through the first 3 games of the final, had an .835 save percentage, one of the lowest save percentages ever in a Stanley Cup final. And now it was only 3 games, and all kinds of weird things can happen in such small samples, but as you add more games to it, maybe you run into the possibility of Carey Price having a game like he did in Game 4. And Montreal needed it because they were getting outplayed. Andrei Vasilevskiy only faced 21 shots in the Tampa Bay goal, stopped 18 of them, but if Carey Price wasn't at the top of his game, we'd already be moving on to the offseason and not worrying about Game 5. Also scoring for Montreal in the game, Alexander Romanov, the defenseman who's been banished to the press box for a good portion of the playoffs, but he gave Montreal a short-lived 2-1 lead. Tampa Bay got their goals. Barclay Goodrow scored one early. Pat Maroon had tied it up shortly after Romanov scored. As I said, Montreal was on the wrong end of play most of the night, and you can look at their top lines. Tyler Toffoli, Philip Deneau, Brendan Gallagher. There's a trio who generally control play, and whether there's finish or not, they keep the puck in the other team's end. Well, they had a 17.7% Corsi in Game 4. That's getting it handed to you. And the line of Josh Anderson, Nick Suzuki, and Cole Caulfield had a 20% Corsi. So that's two kind of primetime lines for Montreal getting just buried in Game 4. And somehow they managed to escape with a win. The fourth line for Montreal does continue to get the better shot differentials. Yoel Armia, Eric Staal, Corey Perry, 66.7% Corsi in that game. Now, for Tampa Bay, their top line, Andre Palat, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, 72.2% Corsi. They were controlling play. And on defense, David Savard, 87.5% Corsi. Mikhail Sergachev, 77.8% Corsi. And so it's, Montreal should feel fortunate, really, the way the flow of the game at evens favor Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay got a late power play when Shea Weber took a double minor, and so that went late in regulation and into overtime. And Montreal escaped that and to come out with the win. And so, that's very resilient, and I think we would expect nothing less than resiliency from this Montreal Canadiens team. You know, I can have my questions about whether they are playing the right players or whether they have enough talent, but there will be no argument about whether they are resilient and giving it all they've got. And so I think that's a credit to them to come back here. Down when you're down 3-0, it's pretty easy to be discouraged, and they weren't. And so they forced game 5 back in Tampa Bay. Now, we don't know if everything's going to happen as planned in game 5. There's a tropical storm / hurricane heading towards certainly Florida, but potentially the Tampa Bay area, and that may have something to say about whether game 5 goes ahead as planned on Wednesday. But at some point there will be a game 5, and we'll see if the Montreal Canadiens can make this into a series. When teams fall down 3-0, it's so rare that they can come back that it's you don't want to get your hopes up too much after one win. But if they happen to win another one, well, then you can start imagining whether that's possible. So when we come back, we will start looking at the expansion plans for the teams that were in the East Division this season. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or is it an EX? And wait for the person behind the counter to order the parts on their computer when you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money by using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. At Rock Auto, it's $216. That's money in your pocket. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Okay, so continuing our series of looking at teams' protected lists headed towards the expansion draft when we're in the East Division, we begin with the Boston Bruins, who have Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, Charlie Coyle, Craig Smith, Jake DeBrusk, Nick Ritchie. Seems like the 7 forwards they're most likely to protect. I'm not sure they would protect Coyle, but he's got a no move clause. But given his production and his salary, he might be one you would dangle out there. On defense, Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grizzlick, Brandon Carlo, and in goal, Daniel Vladar. Unless the Bruins sign up Tuukka Rask, I don't imagine they're going to protect him as an unrestricted free agent. So who's exposed then? The Bruins have enough inexpensive players here that should have some kind of appeal. And there's Chris Wagner and Trent Frederick and Curtis Lazar and Carson Kuhlman. A wild card here might be Peter Solarik, who has gone back to Europe and is scheduled to play in the KHL next year, but had a great World Championships, and that might kind of put him back on the radar for NHL teams. But Solarik is out there. Chad Clifton, Jeremy Lauzon, and Jakub Zboril, the defenseman. And so there are options there for Seattle. You could certainly get an inexpensive defenseman, whether it's Clifton, Lauzon, Zboril, or a young guy who has really just been a banger to this point in his career, and maybe that he's not going to be more than that. But Trent Frederick does show some promise, at least as a fourth liner. I don't know whether that's a high enough ceiling, whether Seattle should be looking for more than that. But maybe that's the right fit for them. In any case, I don't know. The only way that this would seem to change is if Jake DeBrusk was somehow involved in a deal for Boston, and then that maybe opened up a spot for them to keep Frederick. But again, this is a guy who's his ceiling is probably on a third line, and that might not be enough to warrant protecting him. To Buffalo, where the Sabres, their protected list could be dramatically altered by some potential big trades. Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart and Rasmus Ristolainen, and their names have all been on the rumor mill so far in this offseason, and the Eichel one really seems like it's almost destined to happen. So depending on when that happens, that could shift the protected list quite a bit. But as we sit here today, the protected list for Buffalo likely includes Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, Victor Olofsson, Anders Bjork, Tage Thompson, Casey Mittelstadt, and Sam Reinhart. So, there's a varying degrees of need to protect some of those players. On defense, we got Rasmus Ristolainen, Rasmus Dahlin, Henry Yokoharju. Now, in goal, at the moment, is it Dustin Tokarski? I mean, Tokarski kind of came in when their other goalies were hurt and was a trooper playing there for the Sabres, but I don't know that he's necessarily a goaltender that you would need to protect. So who's exposed if that's the protected list? Well, Kyle Okposo has a less than desirable contract. Cody Eakin, Zemgus Girgensons, Rasmus Asplund, Colin Miller, Will Borgen, a couple of defensemen there at the end. From that list, Rasmus Asplund would seem to be the most appealing for Seattle. But if there's a trade where Eichel goes and it's picks and prospects coming back for the most part, maybe there's a spot for the Sabres to keep Asplund, and that shifts who could end up heading to Seattle. Let's move on to New Jersey, where the Devils look like they're protecting Nico Hischier, Andreas Johnsson, Miles Wood, Jesper Bratt, Pavel Zacha, Mike McLeod, and Yegor Sharangovich. On defense, Damon Severson, Will Butcher, Jonas Siegenthaler, and goaltender Mackenzie Blackwood. Well, this does leave some young wingers, and really New Jersey gave a lot of young wingers ample opportunity to play this year. And so there's Nathan Bastian and Nick Merkley, but Jani Kukkonen, who had some decent moments for the Devils this year, probably is the most appealing. And then there's PK Subban, still hanging out there. There's a big contract maybe the Kraken aren't prepared to take that. But, if the Kraken start shopping Subban around, or if Seattle's not going to be near the salary cap, they could very easily take Subban, say they'll retain half his salary, and maybe there's a team who's interested in him at half the price. I don't think a lot of teams are interested in Subban at a $9 million cap hit, but $4.5 million, you might be willing to see if he can bounce back, because it hasn't been working for him in New Jersey, that's for sure. But it's not as though he's so old that you have to assume that he'll never play a half-decent season again. To the New York Islanders, a team that obviously had a great playoff run, and then they're going to have some tough decisions moving forward here. And so if you look at their forward group, Anders Lee, Matthew Barzal, Brock Nelson, Jordan Eberle, Josh Bailey, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and Anthony Beauvillier. Well, that's a pretty good group, real core pieces there on the team. Now, on defense, certainly you expect Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock to be kept. And then we come to, we've got Scott Mayfield and Nick Leddy. And it looks like if the Islanders are going 7-3-1 on their protected list, that one of those guys can't be protected. And, I think Mayfield's under contract for two more years at a very reasonable cost. Leddy going into his last season, a little more pricey, but also probably, might be more appealing if you're shopping him around the league. And so I would wonder, would the Islanders consider, moving Leddy not losing him for nothing to Seattle, basically, and prepared to lose one of your other forwards, because you can go through who's exposed. Okay, sorry, Semyon Varlamov, their goaltender, will be protected, and then so who's exposed? Well, there's Cal Clutterbuck and Leo Komarov and Matt Martin and Kiefer Bellows, Michael Dalcol. And then on defense, it's either Leddy or Mayfield and Sebastian Aho, the other Sebastian Aho. The Islanders, if they can figure out which defenseman goes, and if it's Nick Leddy, maybe you shop Leddy around and find some value to come back in return. And if that means, well, you lose one of your depth forwards to Seattle, then so be it. If Kiefer Bellows or Michael Dalcol end up going to Seattle and breaking through and having success for their career, I don't think that that's something that's going to reflect terribly poorly on the Islanders. They've had an ample opportunity to make something happen with the Islanders, and I think there's no reason to expect that they're going to make you really regret losing them in the expansion draft. So anyway, the Islanders do have an interesting situation here with Mayfield and Leddy on the point to see which one gets protected and which one then could be a prime candidate for Seattle. So when we come back, we will finish up the expansion plans for teams in the East Division this season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, and that includes Major League Baseball, the NBA and the NHL are in their final, and UFC MMA action. Before the next puck drop, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs in the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You drop in $500, another $250 goes into your account. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so picking up in the East Division, players who could be protected, and then some who will be exposed heading into the expansion draft. So we're up to the New York Rangers. The Rangers should protect Artemi Panarin, Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, Ryan Strom, Phil Pedel, Pavel Buchnevich. Then we get a bit of a question for the last spot. Maybe Brett Howden, maybe Colin Blackwell, but probably Howden. And then on defense, Jacob Trouba, Ryan Lindgren, Libor Hájek. And in goal, Alexander Gorgiev. They have sort of the good fortune of being able to protect one goaltender and then have another who's not eligible to be selected. And then you still have the possibility of having your tandem return next year. Now, who's exposed if those are the players? Well, Kevin Rooney, Colin Blackwell, Julian Gauthier, Anthony DeAngelo, and Anthony Boteto. Well, and DeAngelo is a possible buyout candidate, because he's an inexpensive buyout candidate given his age. And so I don't imagine that he wasn't likely to get picked by Seattle anyway. But the question, I suppose, is would it be Colin Blackwell or Julian Gauthier or Brett Howden if one of those players gets protected instead of him? Gauthier might be the one who has untapped potential to this point in his career, and you could see if he can make it work in Seattle, and if not, nothing ventured, nothing gained there. But the Rangers, for the most part, have a pretty solid protected list, and then have some nice value on players who they don't need to protect, and that does set them up to still have a really strong roster heading into next season. All right, to the Philadelphia Flyers. The Flyers, a lot of veterans here to protect. And so Claude Giroux, Jakub Voracek, Kevin Hayes, Travis Konechny, Sean Couturier, Scott Laughton, and Oscar Lindblom. Well, there you go. Not much to argue about with those players. On defense, Ivan Provorov, Philippe Myers, Travis Sanheim. In goal, Carter Hart. And so who ends up exposed here? Well, the Flyers are offering up some decent players. Now, you can only lose one, but is it James Van Riemsdyk, Shane Gostisbehere, Nolan Patrick, Nicholas Obey-Kubel, Justin Braun, Robert Hague? Once you get beyond the top few, it doesn't really matter so much who the Flyers leave exposed, because it's probably going to come down to a choice for the likes of Gostisbehere, Van Riemsdyk, or maybe Nolan Patrick. Given Seattle, may find it hard to secure goal scorers, Van Riemsdyk may have a little more value for them. Gostisbehere as a puck moving defenseman might have value too, but you might be able to find other puck moving defensemen a little easier than you can find a winger who could pot you 25 goals. And so that that might make Van Riemsdyk one of the more appealing options for Seattle. To Pittsburgh, where again, this is a very veteran laden group. So the protected list up front looks probably like Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Jake Guentzel, Brian Rust, Brandon Tanev, Kasperi Kapanen, and Jared McCann. So on defense, Chris Letang, Brian Dumoulin, and Marcus Patterson, in goal, Tristan Jarry. Well, that leaves quite a few quality players exposed. And I suppose most notably, the likes of Jason Zucker and Jeff Carter, Sam Lafferty, Zach Aston-Reese, Mark Jankowski, Teddy Bluger, defenseman Mike Matheson, Jussi Rikola, Chad Ruweedel, and goaltender Casey DeSmith. So there's a lot of options there for Pittsburgh, but you're only going to lose one of them. And again, from Seattle's perspective, if they're really looking at guys who have some track record of scoring, you know, maybe Jason Zucker is a fit for them. You know, they could take Jeff Carter, but I think Carter is probably at the stage where he'll either play one more year in Pittsburgh or that will be it. And so I don't imagine he's intending on moving out to Seattle if that happens. But and then if Seattle wanted to go in another direction and go for the inexpensive players, Pittsburgh does have checkers who have been really effective at an inexpensive price. And like Teddy Bluger and Zach Aston-Reese have been excellent. And they don't get a ton of praise, but they're excellent defensive players, and I would expect that Seattle has an analytics department that would tell them that those guys are excellent defensive players and have more value than the general public might think. And so I think that does give Seattle some options to deal with when it comes to Pittsburgh, but pretty desirable options, I think, if you're the Kraken. And so the last team in the East is the Washington Capitals, another veteran-laden team. The protected list for the Capitals looks like Nicklas Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Anthony Mantha, TJ Oshie, Tom Wilson, Lars Eller, maybe Daniel Sprong. That last forward spot is probably up for grabs a little bit. On defense, John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov, and Nick Jensen, perhaps. And in goal, Ilya Samsonov. Now, that leaves quite a few notables as exposed. And so up front, Carl Hagelin, Connor Sherry, Garnet Hathaway, Nick Dowd. Now, useful players all, but not exactly massive difference makers. And so if you're Washington, is it worth keeping any one of those guys ahead of Daniel Sprong, who is not the most consistent player, but does have maybe a bit of a higher ceiling because he can score some goals. And on defense, who could be exposed? Justin Schultz, Michael Kempney, Brendan Dillon, Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I mean, that's quite a few notable defensemen that the Capitals could be leaving available, and that might steer Seattle's decision. And then in goal, Vitek Vanecek would be a possibility too, who, you know, he ended up playing a whole lot more than the Capitals might have expected this year, but acquitted himself reasonably well, certainly well enough to be considered for a backup role in the NHL next year. And so there we go. We've covered the East Division. We've covered Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll cover Game 5 and continue prepping off season. As you know, we're a couple of weeks away from things really heating up, and then we may as well just keep pumping out off season prep as we head towards the expansion draft, the NHL draft, free agency, the whole schmear. And that will do it for today. Check out my work at The Athletic, McKean's Hockey, as well as ScottCullenHockey.substack.com, and check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. Find these podcasts, subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, what's the key for the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.